It's Wednesday, January 2nd, and everyone heads back to work tomorrow except for the Green Bay Packers as their season comes to an end, but the offseason is just beginning for the front office. Over to the Bucks, they're playing some very good basketball right now, and we get a potential Eastern Conference Finals matchup this Saturday when they welcome Toronto to the Fiserv Forum. And we'll give our 2019 New Year's resolutions for all the Wisconsin sports teams. We'll discuss that and more coming up on Tap in the Keg podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Mitch Ross MKE, and that's NoTapWI. So without further ado, here's your host, Charlie Trichler.
To another edition of the Tap in the Keg podcast, episode 318. How's everybody doing? Happy New Year. Mitch on the ones and twos. Charlie here with you.
Back on the grizzly.
Surprise of all of you. I said on Daily Tap on Monday, I was like, I don't know if we're going to do a Tap in the Keg this week. Mitch, yesterday at a New Year's soiree, was like, hey, I got to be in the studio. You want to do it? I was like, I'll see how I feel. I felt great today. I felt like a champion. Mitch, maybe not so much, but we still will ask him how he's doing.
Oh, yeah. Hanging in there. Yeah. Got a nice little Bucks game on New Year's Day night.
Yeah. The tickets were expensive for that, even though, I mean, they're selling out that Fiserv Forum every night. Also, Marquette's playing this evening. We will have both recaps on Snowtap WI today. You may have already read them. If you haven't, go ahead and read those. It's a website. But yeah, we're here. We're happy to talk. We're going to kind of run through the head coaching search of the Packers. We're going to also kind of Mitch talked about it in the open, but you know, I'm excited. I think it's a really fun week of content just from this week. Definitely pay attention to Snowtap WI.
Big sports week.
Yeah, exactly. It's locally, there's a lot going on. We're shifting our focus. I think there are some who are like, how much their sports radio definitely hot under the collar about talking about the Bucks versus the Packers. But I think this week is all Packers focused. And I think next week you can start sort of making that transition. It requires more watching of basketball than I think some people have done in a long time. And that's tough. It is, because basketball is on. It's not like football where it's on just Sunday and you can tell the wife and kids, you can tell your significant other or whatever you're doing that, like, hey, I gotta just lock out, 12 to 3. So it'll be really interesting to see kind of where that needle moves. I have a potential media column brewing that I've been thinking about. I'm just gonna wait on it though. No, I am, because
you got some thoughts bubbling.
Well, no, I just want to see how it progresses. I'm very interested to see how it works, and I'm going to be interested to see the inferiority complex of some Bucks fans, where I really don't think you need local radio to be talking about your team. There's national guys who are talking about it, podcasts like you and I, Frank and Eric, who do Locked On Bucks, and I just think it's all there.
Yeah, I mean, it's all there, and you do see a lot of people complaining about the lack of Bucks talk, and it's kind of like, I'm as big of a Bucks fan as anybody out there, and it's just like, I know it pays the bills, right. And it is Packer talk, and it's just it is what it is. Right. I do think you're right though. It's going to probably be a week, maybe two, pretty heavy Packers, but then they're going to have to get into the Bucks probably.
Right. If you are like someone who like you need help watching the Bucks, like we can help you. Like you reach out to Mitch and I, we can give you tips and tricks, things you can do. And you don't even have to watch a full game.
Brook Lopez is a center. He's gonna get zero rebounds in games.
Yes, exactly.
But he's also gonna move four guys out of the way for Giannis.
That would actually be a fun thing to write this week or next week, of a hot sheet of all the things that you need to get yourself familiar with this Bucks and how to make yourself how to make yourself an NBA fan to get on the bandwagon.
Little note card.
I like that. I might have to send you an email next week and we can work on that together. Because I know you'd have some things to add, and you could definitely critique what I would put together.
I did get that tweet from our buddy J Boy.
Yeah,
on Saturday.
Yeah, about Brook Lopez.
I don't know what I said. I forget what my tweet was, but he replied with 7-footer with zero rebounds or whatever, and I'm like, the Lopez brothers effect.
Yes,
I believe Eric Name wrote about that as well.
He
on
did.
The Athletic.
Yeah,
just
out.
Those two guys did. They don't get a lot of rebounds.
Yeah,
but they move so many guys out of the way that they impact.
Did you see Robin Lopez bully the Raptors mascot the other night?
I did.
Oh, God, that was hilarious. I laughed out loud. Robin Lopez and mascots is a great NBA trope.
They are just kind of playing around, though.
Oh, yeah. They're just fucking around. It's great. I love it. So
it's the biggest rivalry in the NBA. Right?
Yes. That rivalry on par with Packer fans thinking they have all the answers on choosing who's the next head coach.
Ooh, that's a segue.
That's right. That's right up there with it. Everyone has an opinion right now. And, you know, you could sample literally every, if you went to like a crowded grocery store, you went to like Pick and Save anywhere in the greater Wisconsin area and asked who you want to be the Packers coach, you'd get probably 10 to 12 different answers.
Yeah, you definitely would. I think that a lot of people think Mike Tomlin's getting fired. Yep. I don't know if you saw the report that Antonio Brown has apparently requested a trade.
I did, and I also looked up Antonio Brown, what it would cost Antonio Brown to get here. So $12.5 million over the next 3 years. Not too bad, actually. But I don't think he's worth giving up your 12th pick and probably a first rounder next year.
Yeah.
Von Miller, on the other hand, would be a totally different story. Not that that's out there, but right. Von Miller would be your Reggie White.
So move. I think Mike Tomlin is. I think Aaron Nagler tweeted too that it was. Wouldn't it be funny if McCarthy ended up in Pittsburgh and right. Tomlin ended up in Green Bay?
For sure.
I mean, you know, Tomlin is a pretty good coach, I think, but you know, he's had a lot of egos and just off the field and crap to deal with in that locker room, like Antonio Brown, like Le'Veon Bell.
Here's the thing, though. That team has always looked undisciplined. I mean, their record against losing teams, like them as a 10-point favorite, they've been really bad, and that's sort of a sign of coaching, in my opinion. And I'm not one of the Mike Tomlin tree. I don't think Mike Tomlin should be a guy considered. I know a lot of people want him, but he's way down on my list. My guy, Matt LaFleur, who was when McCarthy got fired, that was the guy I wanted. He OC for the Titans, and he had been under Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay. He will be interviewing this week, or they've requested to interview him. The Titans have to grant permission.
The Packers did?
Yes.
Oh, wow. I think he would do something for me. You also have,
Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels. That's the favorite. Big one.
That's the fave.
He's
right
the,
now.
The odd 2-1 on that one?
I would say, yeah. I mean, Zachary Jacobson, who writes for Cheesehead TV, said his sources said that that's going to be the guy. So someone he's talked to thought that that was going to be it.
Yeah. I, how do you feel about that? I mean, there's obviously, he's a kind of a lightning rod because of the way he's had some transgressions with other organizations besides the Patriots. Mm-hmm. He seems to be well-behaved with them, but you know, it ended kind of badly in Denver, and it also, then he, you know, spurned the Colts pretty badly.
So I've worked I'm trying to have this optimistic approach to really whomever the coach is, besides a few names. And we can get to those names later. But I want to at least give them, I think every coach, and whenever the coach is hired, whenever the smoke billows out of Lambeau Field, I want to have at least I'll preach this on the podcast, a 1.5 year window where you just have to look at it. It's not house money. It's not that, but you can't just immediately hate the guy after game one, game five, game seven. You know, you have to at least give it 15 games before we can really make a strong opinion on, do we like this guy, fuck this guy, or I'm still unsure.
Yeah, I would say at least 15 games. I would say probably closer to 2 full seasons.
Probably, absolutely.
Before, you know, a guy has a system and, you know, the proper talent to execute that system.
Yep. And I know there'll be people who say, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have 2 years. Well, unfortunately,
sure he does.
Oh, he absolutely does. No. Drew Brees had 3 straight 7-9 seasons, and the Saints are looking like they could win the Super Bowl this year. So I don't want to hear that.
He's not going anywhere.
No, I agree with you 100%. So the comment that with Daniels, and so I've tried to work my way. I didn't really like Daniels. Daniels wasn't a guy.
Josh McDaniels?
Yeah. McDaniels wasn't a guy I thought that was a person I wanted as a coach. I just thought that there was too many red flags. I worried about the Colts thing. I worried about, if Belichick retires in 3 years, does he just resign and force his way back to New England and become the Pats coach?
And, you know, speaking of the Patriots, you know, no Belichick disciple has really succeeded outside
except for Bill O'Brien. Yeah. I mean, Bill O'Brien took a team who was 0-3, and now they are, you know, a three seed in the AFC playoffs. But from what I've read,
and Matt Patricia looks like a nightmare.
Oh God. Yeah, any defensive coach. I feel a little bit better about offensive coaches. But what I've read is the Texans fans are a lot like how the Brewers fans were in 2017, where they're just really waiting for that other shoe to drop. And they're just like, they're not convinced. Like, they need to beat the Colts to, like, see it through. Yeah. Like, they just need to have that happen. But I don't think it's going to happen. But that's another story for the week. Probably we can watch this. But I think that McDaniels did so much with Tom Brady being broken down. They didn't have Gronk. I mean, they made themselves into
Gronk
a power.
Broken down, yeah.
They made themselves into a power running team, and they really looked good. And they had no receivers. And Josh Gordon left, and Chris Hogan was a shell of himself. Edelman was gone for four games or eight games?
Four, right?
I think four, yeah. No,
suspension?
Yeah, four. Yeah, the suspension, yeah.
I think it was four.
It was four, yeah. So you didn't have Edelman. But they still made it happen. They were seventh in DVOA. They were good offense. I think there is like...
Isn't it kind of amazing just how good they are at like adjusting? And
oh,
like,
yeah, 100%.
It's not rocket science, you know, coaching sports. I mean, yeah. You know?
But
people are so stubborn and coaches can be, you know, getting their own head.
Right. One of the biggest worries, I think, with McDaniels right now is if the Patriots do get hot again, he wouldn't be the Packers coach till maybe February 4th. And that's a long time. That's a long time. The Senior Bowl starts. You're starting to scout who's going to be your next draft pick. You're looking at free agencies. It kind of puts everything on the back burner. And I think that
you're building a hell of a case against Josh McDaniels here.
No, I'm not. That's not what I'm doing. I'm laying out the pros and cons of Josh McDaniels, who
For
is
sure.
the favorite. And I think he's the one that should get the most talk. Like, Mike Tomlin's great to talk about, but he hasn't been fired yet.
Right.
Adam Gase is another guy who I love. I think Adam Gase is like Pete Carroll 2.0, where he's going to go to his next job.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a lot better for him. But the Packers are not set up to interview him yet.
Yeah.
Only the Arizona Cardinals are, which I think if the Cardinals were to get Adam Gase, that'd be a great hire for the Cardinals. Now, they're interviewing a variety of names, but that's to that point is like, I don't want to spend a ton of time on Gase either. Because
who knows? Probably won't even.
He might not even get that look. Vic Fangio's another one who has not got the Packer interview request. So back to McDaniels, though. Yes, there is the fact the Patriots get hot. McDaniels would not be here till the February 4th. And that's a long time. That's a long fucking time. And it is you missed the Senior Bowl. I'm sure he would be able to attend, but where is his head really going to be? If the Patriots go screw around and win the whole thing, what if Belichick retires and McDaniels is like, all right, I have an opportunity to be the Patriots coach?
You have to wonder if that was the case, why he went back to New England.
100%. I fully believe he did that, and I think there is a Colts Patriots rivalry that runs pretty deep. And I think that those two, with the Deflategate stuff and with the Peyton versus Brady, I just don't think those franchises like each other.
Yeah.
And I think it was even a subtle jab at the Colts. And I think it was like and that's where, again, McDaniels is a little bit of a shit stir and a little bit of a, you know, is he really there? I do think that him and Rodgers could get on the same page from a cerebral side of things. I look at a guy like Dan Campbell, who's interviewing for the Packers for some God knows what reason.
He's the Browns?
He was the Dolphins interim coach, but he works now for the Saints.
That's right. Okay.
But he's a fucking hardo. Like, he's just a meathead. And
he didn't retire that long ago.
But I don't think like a meathead would work well with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, granted,
he loves like AJ Hawk and Brady Papengar as boys, and I would consider both those guys meatheads. But you know, they're at least smart guys. They both are in the media. They are not like they're not dumbasses by any shape of the imagination. So
yeah,
I still don't get. I think the Dan Campbell thing strictly talk to us about the Saints culture. What do the Saints do? How do the Saints do it?
Yeah.
We just want to know everything about the best team in football. There's nothing wrong with that.
That's probably the case, too. And you had Jim Caldwell and Chuck Pagano interviewed right off the bat, basically. And people were kind of talking about that a little bit. It's just that one just seems like, okay, we're casting a wide net. Like, we're just going to get this ball rolling with a couple of guys who are pretty well respected around the NFL.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily feel like... we want them, but we're just going to get it going.
And it's the same.
So I don't think there's any chance either of those guys.
I agree. And it's the same thing with Campbell's point. It's like, okay, so Caldwell, Talk to us about quarterbacks. What did you do? How did you do that? Pagano's experience is secondary. Tell us about what you did and it in 3-4. Tell us what you did with a secondary in 3-4 and blitzing, a lot of similar things that Mike Patton did.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're interviewing Mike Munchak, who is terrible but he's an O-line coach. He's a Hall of Famer, and he was in the Steelers organization. Tell us about how the Steelers run their organization.
Yep.
I'm sure he'd be like, oh boy, I need like six beers. But I think there's all of that considering. So you can't make too much of a big deal about a lot of these guys. You're absolutely right. And you just have to sort of understand that it's a wide net.
Yeah.
Now, the one guy we haven't talked about, and then we'll move on to the Bucs, is Pat Fitzgerald. So Pat Fitzgerald is kind of like the NBA star. He reminds me of like a LeBron, right? And I feel like football coaches and NBA players are similar. They go, I'm not leaving. I'm not going anywhere. This isn't happening. I am cats for life. And then all of a sudden it's like Pat Fitzgerald's reported Green Bay Packer head coach and signed a 5-year deal and it's done deal.
Yep.
So and that we've seen it.
And he gets out before the Titanic sinks.
Right. We've seen it time and again that these coaches are snakes and they do what's best for them. And I don't blame them, but the way they care, they just have no idea how to like be a PR person. Like only few and far between understand like how to manufacture that. And Pat Fitzgerald goes all in, and you're really going to tell me that you're not going to interview the guy that Mark Murphy hired as the AD and they have multiple Northwestern players on this team. As I was talking to Murph about this, like
Dean Lowry,
Tyler Lancaster, and Danny Vitale.
Okay.
He goes, is it Vitale or is it Vitale?
I remember him from practice.
He's a fullback. He is jacked.
Huh.
He would be, if I was a chick, if we were two chicks doing this podcast, he's a fucking man rocket. Like, he's a gorgeous human being.
Long hair, too, probably?
He used to have long hair, yeah. But you should go to his Instagram page, and like you'll feel like such a piece of shit after it, but it might be good motivation for all of us.
Maybe.
At the beginning of the year.
New year, new me.
But to that point, you don't think, this is a comment from Murph.
The ties are all over.
Right. You don't think that Murphy didn't call Fitzgerald and ask him about Lowry, didn't ask him about Lancaster, that someone in the organization had not reached out to Pat Fitzgerald and been like, they probably have a direct line, you know? And so Fitzgerald would kind of be foolish not to interview with the Packers and have this opportunity. I mean, he is a Bears fan. He is a kind of an Illinois lifer. Maybe he just wants to stay in that area. Maybe only like if he looks at his career path, maybe only Notre Dame is the next step.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's the only place he'd rather go.
Yeah, I don't really see him leaving the college ranks. I don't know why. I mean, he's got it made, as you kind of alluded to. He's got it made, and I don't think he's necessarily ready for an NFL job either.
Yeah,
he just doesn't do much for me. I mean, Northwestern. I know they have limitations as far as resources and certain GPA that needs to be upheld, and obviously they're more of an educational institution than an athletics institution. But still, I mean, he hasn't really had any great seasons. I know that they made the Big Ten championship game this year, but that was because Wisconsin kind of.
Yeah, but they've had 5 years and 9-win seasons under his tutelage, which is pretty damn good.
He has been consistent,
and they've been really disciplined. They are one of the least penalized teams in college football, and there is a lot of culture things you'd like about him. But if Pat Fitzgerald takes over, he's like a CEO. You hire Freddie Kitchens to be your OC. Maybe you bring back Patton. Maybe you bring back or add another defensive guy that's forward thinking as well. You kind of don't let Fitzgerald have any sort of stake in who he brings in as coaches because he just does not have that. And maybe to that point, he's just done so much in the college ranks that he has no idea where he would start with a coaching staff. And that might screw him up. And that might be like, I don't know how much control I'd really have.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I want that.
So, I mean, do you think he can relate to NFL players?
I think so. I think that Pat Fitzgerald can get across because he's still a younger guy, and it seems like every player would die for him. And I think having Lancaster, Lowry, Vitale in the locker room, two guys on defense, one guy on offense, to tell really everybody, here's what our coach is about. I mean, they probably field a lot of calls, but you'd think that some players would reach out and be like, tell me about our new coach, and they would probably get him fired up for it and get him excited. Yeah. So we'll see. It'll be I'm sure next week it'll be entirely different because McDaniel's interview is on Friday. So it'll be a very interesting next week when we check in on this topic. With the Bucks, so they played tonight. We're taping on New Year's night, but they played the Pistons. We'll see how that goes. They got a couple days off before Atlanta, and then they have a back-to-back at home against the Toronto Raptors. So if you were a betting man, you'd
give me some Raptor news.
You'd assume that Giannis, Middleton, maybe Brogdon even would take a break on that Friday game and just sort of punt.
Yeah.
That Hawks game, I know that makes people feel uneasy. And
I don't think all three of them would sit.
No, but some
maybe
some
one
should
of those guys
at least get a little breather. Or you hope best case scenario, which has happened to the Bucks before, you just blow the shit out of the Hawks and you blow them out of the water. And Giannis only plays
like three
20
quarters.
Minutes
yeah.
exactly. And that's like that to me actually is the perfect thing because Bucks are rolling. I mean, they're 8 of 10.
Yeah, the only game they've lost in the recent memory is the Miami game, which they were never going to win.
Yeah, scheduled loss.
They punted that one. If you
exactly.
want to talk about it,
I mean, absolutely.
They sat Brogdon that day, and obviously you missed him, and they had 8 points in the first quarter.
Right.
It was a game they were never going to win.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And so I think they're ready for this Raptors matchup. I think they've heard the noise. The haters are growing by the day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you had Enes Kanter last week, you had Ryan Hollins. Now this former scout, whatever fuckboy, was giving this whole Jason Kidd reset yesterday on Twitter, which I tore down. I showed it to you, but you were kind of in the bag, so that's okay. It's okay. You can look back at my tweets.
I do vaguely remember that. Yes,
it was tough for you. I get it. It's not a big deal. But so that's happening. I think that James Harden has put himself right with Giannis in the MVP race. We're gonna have a lot of James Harden Giannis debates. I mean, he's had 4 straight games of 40 points.
Yeah.
The Rockets are back to the 4 seed in the West.
Yeah, they're finally starting to.
And it's all because of James Harden, because Chris Paul has been out. They've had a bunch of other injuries. It is all James Harden, which is like the definition of an MVP. And it's not just empty stats, which we saw from Harden last year.
Yeah, and you're kind of getting that from Giannis, too. I mean,
100%.
For the Bucks, whereas, Saturday against Brooklyn, I mean, he just shut Ryan Hollins up, basically. He was 6 for 6 in the fourth quarter and took the game over and finished, I think, with 30 again or something.
Yeah, 29. Yeah,
he's getting
double. He had a triple double. I think it was 31, 10, and 10. Actually.
I feel like he's gotten his at least his season average in most of the games. Now there are a couple games, there are a couple teams that give him fits, like Indiana, Miami again for whatever reason.
James
they have a bunch
Johnson,
of guys. That can
I would trade if I was either Philly, Boston, or the Raptors, I would trade for James Johnson. I know he has a kind of a bad contract, but I would try to figure out how I get James Johnson on my team.
Yeah.
I think he is the number one Giannis stopper, if not the only Giannis stopper in the league.
He was a LeBron stopper.
He was.
Well,
yeah, so I mean, he obviously has something, his wingspan,
right,
his
good,
ability.
Good size, and that dude lost a bunch of weight, too, and a couple of years ago reshaped his body and got paid, and yeah, he's a tough contract to probably move, but I think that's a good idea if I'm another team. I mean, so anyway, then Brooklyn they didn't really have anybody to stop Giannis, and he was amazing again. So
they kind of got their 3-point stroke back. It's not like the Bucks have been missing it, but we haven't really seen a big 3-point game out of the Bucks in a while.
Yeah,
and
they took a ton.
Middleton, Lopez, and even Giannis were just reining them in, and they were making it just sort of.
They had
pour
like 14
out there
in the first half, and only ended with like 16 or 17, I think. But
I mean, still though, that that cushion.
Right.
You sort of have the ability to play a little off in that second half.
The Nets are pretty good, though.
Oh, absolutely. I love the Nets. I think the Nets have been one of my favorite teams to gamble with this year, actually. Like, they are just, I always think they're a very consistent
team. They don't win, they cover?
They do. They cover a lot. They sometimes are a home dog for no real reason.
I mean, they play hard. They have, they don't have a whole lot of talent. I mean, D'Angelo Russell's pretty good. We obviously didn't see him on Saturday, which probably would have helped them greatly.
Oh, 100%.
I mean, you're missing... 25 points probably right there.
And they had a three games in four nights, so Bucks got lucky. I mean, they got caught them on a good night. And so now you face a Detroit team tonight that you should take care of business against. There's really no excuses.
I mean, another team that doesn't really have much against you. I mean, I know Blake Griffin's there, but if he's not flopping, that's really the only way he can.
Giannis owns Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin has been just taken to town in these first two games that they've played.
Yep.
And the Brook Lopez factor has neutralized Andre Drummond. And that's, I think Brook Lopez, I don't think he'll be an all-star, but he's a guy who should be considered because there have been teams where the Bucks have really struggled against, and Brook Lopez has totally shifted that narrative.
Yeah.
I mean, Andre Drummond, Mitch, against the Bucks last year and the year prior, it's like he's going to get 20-20, and there's nothing we really can fucking do about it. And now it's like, he might have an okay game, but if Brooke's not in foul trouble, he's gonna play really tough defense against him.
Speaking of that, the officiating was horrible on Saturday.
Oh yeah. The NBA, sometimes you get, I mean, I deal with it. Well, as a college basketball fan, I deal with it all the time.
Yeah.
But when you have bad NBA officials, I mean they called
everything. I mean, it was up and down the floor calling, you know, both, I mean, not in my opinion on both sides. I mean, Brooklyn was getting a much better whistle.
Yeah, didn't DeMar Carroll also bring down Giannis, and it was only called a common foul? Yeah. Like, he literally, it was a dirty fucking play about DeMar Carroll.
And how the hell,
who's now on the list?
For that matter, Thursday against the Knicks, how the hell was the Enes Kanter thing that led to the altercation not called a foul? I mean, he was like trying to get a foul.
Right.
He was pissed that he didn't get one. On the other end, came back and just hammered Giannis and didn't even get a...
Do you think Enes Kanter is going to get bought out by the Knicks? Because he's in his last year's contract. He came out publicly saying about his playing time. He's like, I don't mind being on the bench, but I just want to win. I just want to do this. And like, it's not going well for Enes Kanter since the Giannis sort of thing. It's like, he's like, you don't really want to fuck with Giannis. And also too, it's like, you know, you're at that peak level, you're at that GOAT level when the haters are starting. Like, I feel like Giannis is one of those people where the Giannis corner is like a very, like, we all love Giannis. And when you drift off that corner, you are, that's what you're just trying to do, that to get a rise out of people.
Yeah.
Skip Bayless did it last year.
Yep.
I'm sure it'll come back again for Skip right around the playoff time. And Giannis hasn't won a playoff game. He doesn't shoot.
Now you've got Ryan Hollins.
Ryan Hollins, who's trying to make a name for himself. Good for Ryan Hollins.
Actually listen to him, you watch a video and don't just see the quotes or whatever. I mean, he's not necessarily hating him. He's just saying he's not that guy yet.
He just doesn't have.
But I kind of disagree.
The problem with Ryan Hollins is he doesn't have his facts straight. It's the cowboy Chris. Like, get your facts.
Yeah.
Like, because
he's dug his heels on his take, and he's not like, it's just he's doing all eye test.
Right, and I respect the digging in the heels. That's classic sports analyst. That's classic radio show host. Like,
well, you kind of have
once
to.
You have a take out there, you have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I were running a radio station, would I be trying to get Ryan Hollins on my Milwaukee programming this week? Absolutely. 100%. You should reach out. People should be reaching out to him. And now, is he going to do it? I don't know. If he doesn't, I think he's scared. And then you can make the comment like, he's scared to face the noise. Not that we were going to like criticize him, call him an idiot, all this stuff. But we at least want to hear from his perspective, and the Milwaukee fan base wants to hear from him.
Yeah.
And then we'll break down what you're saying and see what goes on.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's dug his heels in, and I think that's a great idea. Just maybe somebody should try to get him on, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Just throwing that out there, bub.
Yeah.
So
nice consulting there.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. You can drop a bag every now and again. But yeah, that Raptors match will be interesting. No Kyle Lowry, it looks like. He's out indefinitely with a back injury.
Mm.
They do not have a timetable on that. They are saying, we're just playing it day by day. So I don't know. Maybe Kyle Lowry plays, maybe he doesn't. That's definitely a tough one, because Kyle Lowry has been a pain in the Bucks' side. And now Fred VanVleet's very good. I mean, Fred VanVleet.
Yeah, I know. I've resisted that forever, and I finally, after two games against the Bucks this year, I'm saying he's good. He's clutch. I'm amazed that a 5'10" dude from Rockford, Illinois, is so good.
Yeah, he's a hell of a player, man. But I will say this: that the Raptors don't have it easy. They have to go to the Spurs on Thursday night, TNT game. Spurs are a very good home team.
Spurs just beat the Celtics.
Yeah, they're very good at home. They have like a 13-5 road home record this year. And that is, so you have to travel from Toronto, San Antonio, back to Milwaukee. That's not easy at all. 100%. And then they also have a back-to-back with the Pacers. So even if they were to, and that's back, so they go back in Toronto.
They go to, oh, okay. On Sunday?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and that's, I mean, that's really tough. So even if the Bucks do lose that game, which I don't think they will, I feel pretty good about the Bucks at home. And I think they've, I mean, if they beat the Raptors this game, they get the season series. So they get the season series. Right. They have then the advantage.
Do they only play Toronto three times?
I think they play them four times.
Okay.
So but the last game won't matter then because right. they've already won two. They win that third one, and then they've just been awesome at home. And that's a really big thing. That can't be undersold enough is how good of a home team the Milwaukee Bucks have been. And that needs to continue.
They're going to have a long stretch of quite a bit of road games coming up, I think, after this homestand.
Yep.
You know, they have a six-game homestand, which I'm not sure what the numbers are, but it feels like they've – by that point, they'll have played probably 6 to 8 more home games than road games.
Yeah,
but you know, they've been fine on the road. I mean, you want to win half your road games and the majority of your home games, and that's how you get to 50 wins.
Absolutely.
So I mean, 100%. Just you got to kind of hold the fort down on the road, basically, and not really flounder so much. But it is pretty great being able to scoreboard watch all season long with these other teams. I mean,
100%.
The Bucks have put themselves in a position where, you know. You know, they've thrown their hat squarely in the ring, and now we can have fans hate the Bucks, and we can hate the other teams, and it just feels good to be a part of it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Part of the action. I mean, it's gonna be a really fun summer.
And I think the top five teams in the East are pretty legitimate.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the East is, and I actually don't think Charlotte and
Didn't you say Miles Turner got hurt?
He did. He broke his nose.
Yeah, so he's going to be out for a couple weeks.
Right, that's a big loss.
That's huge.
I mean,
and he's Embiid, he was a Bucks killer. God, bless him.
Embiid is now dealing with a knee thing, and Kyrie Irving scratched his cornea.
Oh, man.
So
they're dropping like flies out there.
Yeah, just everyone stay healthy.
Yeah,
fucking, like, we've done podcasts where people have got hurt. Yeah. Like
everybody's got to stay healthy, but, you know. And we've said on this podcast, too, Philly, you know, I don't know how much we believe in Philly. I do think they're still a good team. But just when it comes to playoff time, that's a lot of egos, one basketball. We'll see.
Philly has to learn how to win on the road, though. Their home road splits are pretty dramatic. They've been very good at home, but they've...
They are currently out west.
Yes. They play the Clippers tonight. Yeah. So we'll see. Should be fun. But like I said, it's going to be a fun summer. It's definitely could be a year of the Bucks, no matter how it shakes out.
2018 turned out to be okay.
So if you're making a New Year's resolution, so when you think a New Year's resolution, it's something you want to see more of, you want to see them do or whatever, what would be your New Year's resolution for the Milwaukee Bucks?
Oh, I want to see more DJ.
Okay.
DJ Wilson.
Yes.
I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like,
oh yeah.
I feel like he's legitimately figuring it out. And it's not like fluke, you know, one game here, one game there. He seems to be firmly entrenched in the rotation. They're using him like a poor man's Draymond Green.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Where he's like, he can play some small ball five in the fourth quarter. You know, Thon plays in the first half and then he's basically gone, you know, because then DJ has been taking those minutes to kind of, if Brook Lopez comes out, you've got Giannis and DJ as the front court. And I want to see him. I want to see his growth. I mean, I want to see them put him in a position. That's what's great about Bud is that he just so much different than Jason Kidd. The system's great. He lets guys be good, be themselves, and kind of play free and play loose and play well.
Yeah, and the thing with DJ Wilson is he's been Bud. Someone, I think it was Velasco, said, you know, Bud won't take credit for DJ Wilson's development, and he's like very much like DJ just did this himself. But literally, this is exactly what we talked about in the offseason about how Bud takes these wing players and just recreates them.
Yep.
Ken Bazemore, Tim Hardaway, I mean, Damari Carroll, the list goes on and on. And so, you know, DJ Wilson's a little bigger than a lot of those guys, but still he plays like a wing more than he does a big man.
But
he can bang. I mean, he's got double doubles. He's had 10 or 8, 11 rebounds in a few games.
Yeah, I mean, he's had this, you know, I think that was the one concern, you know, I guess there was more than one concern, but the main concern with DJ was just kind of him being soft.
Yeah, people thought he was another Henson. He fucking isn't.
All of a sudden, he's just, I don't know what it is, but he is in the right place at the right time an awful lot, and he's playing with confidence and aggressiveness.
He's also gritty as shit. Like, he hustles. Like, he does all the little things that you want.
And did you see, too, I think Giannis had one of those alley-oops, I think, was it Saturday? And DJ was like in the corner, like celebrating on the court, like jumping up and down.
He's great. Cool. No, he's a good teammate for sure. And I think that all helps. I think
it's amazing how Bud, I almost called him Bug, Bud, how Bud can kind of, you know, we're winning and we're developing players at the same time.
Yeah.
Like a lot of teams and a lot of coaches, I don't think can do that.
Yes.
It takes a pretty special coach.
No doubt about it. He's definitely, to me, a stone pipe lock as the coach of the year with this team, no question about it.
And I think that we're looking at possibly a front office of the year.
John Horst, 100%. Johnny, you guys know I'm a John Horst stan. This is not anything new. Here.
And I said, I think I told you this in person the other day, if they don't bring Brooke Lopez back next year, I don't know, man. I'd be almost done.
I
think he's just perfect. I don't know. He's absolutely perfect for this team.
I think you got to look at his age and just make sure, get it a number that makes sense, but no doubt about it.
I mean, you just hope that he doesn't play so well that
you
know, some team throws a ridiculous contract at him.
Exactly.
But I think you can get him for probably $10 million a year.
Yeah, and the Lopez guys, the Lopez brothers feel like players who, if they have a comfortable situation, they're just going to stay there.
Yeah.
They're not going to rock the boat too much and not just like jump between team.
Right.
My New Year's resolution for the Bucks is just to win a playoff series. And I'd like them to win two. The goal we talked about at the beginning of the season was to get to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Yeah.
But just to see one go in.
Yeah.
No narrative, none of that bullshit. Just win, get one. Win in five games, win six games. Don't even take it to seven. Like, just get it done. Do not leave anything off the bone. Mm-hmm. And then after you get to that division, I wouldn't say it's house money, but it then becomes a little more like, okay, just let's see one go in. Just like Philly did last year.
Well, it's the monkey on their back.
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
And I feel like if you don't win that first round series, obviously that'd be a complete disaster.
Dude.
Because
everything changes.
I would be. I think that for sure they're probably going to, top three, I'm thinking.
Yeah, top three, no question.
So you're going to be looking at probably Charlotte or somebody.
Charlotte, Detroit, or Miami.
Yeah.
And Charlotte's a bad matchup for the Bucks, I think. I think Miami.
Charlotte? Oh, Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Out of those three, you probably want Detroit. I mean, that's the three. If you had to rank it, it probably goes Detroit, Miami, and Charlotte. Because Charlotte has that small ball stuff. You have Kemba, who's just clutch as all hell and just a really tough guy to deal with late game.
Yeah.
So I think that would be my order. But we'll see. I mean, Brooklyn could slide in there, and then all of a sudden I think Brooklyn becomes more attractive as sort of just a happy, happy to be there.
Just thinking about that is just, wow.
Right. Absolutely. This is fun. So what we do. All right. So moving on to do you want to go Packers? Because that's what people care about. My resolution for the Green Bay Packers is to become the NFC North leader yet again. So it's been 2 years now. The Vikings won it. I think it's been more than that, actually. It's been a few years since Packers have won the NFC North and really been sort of the big dick, you know, what the Bears did this year. And we're 12-4. They took control of the division. They won it outright. There wasn't any worry. I thought about, like, when have we had a year where we're not worried about week 17 where it has to run the table? And since I think 2014 was the last one.
Yeah. My Packers resolution is for Mark Murphy to just get it right, get the head coaching search right, and kind of stay the hell out of the way.
Yeah.
Because he seems to have wanted and given himself more power within the organization. He sort of, you know, I'm not going to call him a Jerry Jones like some people do. I don't think he's that far, but you know, people have really unloaded the clip on Mark Murphy now.
Well,
the past weekend,
they need somebody to blame. We've talked about this you move on.
And it's him or Rodgers,
right? And if Pat Fitzgerald were to get hired, we kind of mentioned this in the coaching talk at the beginning of this show. If Fitzgerald it would be such a PR effort that Murphy would have to work.
Yeah.
And he'd have to really work it. And Gutekunst would have to be
it would confirm everybody's fears that he's got so much power.
Exactly.
In the organization. And he is a former player, right, Mark Murphy? But, I mean, people just really don't want that, myself.
I agree. Kind
of get it right and stay out of the way. Let the head coach hire who he wants to hire. You know, let the GM hire who he wants to, you know, just kind of work. I don't mind a front office structure of everybody working together and being in, you know, everybody having some input, but just, you know, make your money, you know, your little Disneyland up there, Tundra Land, whatever you call it, but just kind of
sled down your hill, looking like a doofus.
Just get the head coaching hire correct, and let's get this thing back to the hallowed ground.
No doubt. Absolutely. So Milwaukee Brewers are up next. If we had a resolution for the Brewers, what would yours be? It's early. They haven't made any moves yet.
I would say get me an ace pitcher for a resolution. That would be, you know.
Get me an ace pitcher without trading Keston Hiura, or get me an ace pitcher?
Depends on who's coming back in that trade, I suppose.
All right, Corey Kluber.
Kluber, for whatever reason, doesn't do a whole lot for me. I don't know why.
Who would be a guy that you would trade Hiura for, just out of curiosity?
Oh, man. Honestly, I'd like DeGrom, somebody like that. Okay. I mean, it would have to be...
Syndergaard.
Yeah, I mean, probably one of those Mets guys, I would say. Hiura is pretty much off the table, I think, unless it's one of those
real big names. Supreme. Yeah. Absolutely.
And I think I wouldn't really want to over... I don't even know what Kluber's contract situation. I know he's on the wrong side of 30.
Yep.
He has been good. He's got plenty of playoff experience. I guess for the right price, I could be talked into Kluber.
The nice thing about Kluber is the fact that he just is a rubber arm. He has a Sabathia-like feel to him where he can get the ball and just go out there. Now, granted, that can all go to shit, but even now, Sabathia is still like that. Yeah. And he's coming back for another year. He even had a heart issue, but he's still coming back. And... yeah, I mean, now that Robbie Ray is being talked about in trade talks, the Brewers haven't been mentioned. Their Brewers are still in on Sonny Gray. So apparently whatever Derek Johnson told the Brewers staff before, like, hey, Sonny Gray is worth, we can fix him. And so I don't know what was said or how it was, but they want him. The Yankees just price is way too high. They want like Corey Ray for Sonny Gray. And Brewers aren't going to do that.
Yeah, there's no way. I think that you're... you know, that boy, that's, yeah. Corey Ray for Sonny Gray. My God.
Absolutely not.
Sonny Gray's been terrible.
No.
Absolutely terrible.
No.
That's classic Yankees, though, right?
No, right. And the Yankees want to have these blue chip talents they could either flip in a trade for somebody else or that they could develop and make into their own. And I just think there's no way that the Brewers are going to let the rich get richer.
And I just definitely, as far as an ace, I don't want to go sign a free agent. I don't think they're going to do that.
No.
That's not David Stern's style. So just give me a guy with, you know, 2 years of team control or something.
Yep.
Let's just, you know, really sort of hammer that pitching staff together. And, you know, we'll get Jimmy Nelson back. Figuring out the Brewers pitching rotation is anybody's, you know, guess.
Right.
for 2018 or 2019.
My New Year's resolution is...
I think we're like 45 days from pitchers and catchers.
We are. Yeah, absolutely. And I know that there's a lot of noise about... the union and getting sort of everything put together from a free agency perspective. My resolution is not actually for the Brewers themselves, but it's for the fans. Keep your expectations level. I understand they got to the NLCS. We should expect the Brewers to be really fucking good this year. I don't think there's any reason that we should say, oh, this team could be, you know, we should predict them to go to the World Series. We should predict them to go to the playoffs. But if it doesn't start out the best, baseball is a long season.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a time. They can be 500 in June and turn it on and be the hottest team out of the gate. They also are competing with the Cardinals who had Paul Goldschmidt and Andrew Miller already this offseason. They're competing with the Cubs, who probably aren't done doing things.
Right.
They're competing with a Cincinnati Reds team that's decided
they're doing everything they can.
They want to contend.
Yep.
The only team that really isn't contending is the Pirates. But as David Stern said to media a couple weeks ago, we are in a no rebuild division. They're in the toughest division in baseball.
Yep.
So you have to consider that. When you're looking, baseball is not an easy sport.
Yeah, I mean, they're playing, 50, 60 games against, you know, that aren't cupcakes. And Pittsburgh gives the Brewers fits for whatever reason as it is.
Right, exactly. And now,
Pittsburgh was supposed to be terrible last year, and they were,
They were halfway difference. They were 10
games under 500,
maybe? And
they still
have Chris Archer, and they still have Trevor Williams. They have guys. I mean,
goddamn, Chris Archer.
Man, he kind of stinks. I'm glad. I
don't get why they did it.
They're the Bucks. Not the Bucks like Buccaneers and Pirates, because sometimes they call it Buccos. They are literally the Herb Cole Milwaukee Bucks. They just need 500 records, keep the tickets rolling in.
Just make a trade for somebody. Make a little bit of a splash trade, even though it's not really going to move the needle.
No. Yeah.
Not putting you over the top or anything. It's just kind of keeping it from everybody else. Keeping them from, you know, that's... they probably wanted to get him before the Brewers did.
Absolutely. I know we don't really do college sports. I will say resolutions for Jonathan Taylor is I would become my best friend with the jugs machine, and I would just learn how to catch out of the backfield. And that
How about just walking around campus with a football all the time?
Yeah.
Fumbling.
Well, that dude needs to become a pass catcher if he's going to be a first-round draft pick in the NFL.
He probably would be if he became a good pass catcher.
He has you want to guess how many total catches he has in his 2 years?
10.
Almost 8. Said 4 a year.
Wow, that's terrible.
You just can't do that in today's NFL, and really in any NFL, but like maybe 20 years ago you're like, yeah, whatever, that doesn't matter. But nowadays, you have to be that dual guy, and that's what made Melvin Gordon a first-round pick. And that's if Taylor did that, he could also contend with Tua for the Heisman.
Yeah, and incidentally, I would like Paul Chris to maybe trust his quarterbacks a little bit more.
Oh God, it's going to be obnoxious though with Graham Mertz, the freshman that's coming in, who's like a 12th-rated pro quarterback by some analysts. And people are going to expect him to be a starter on day one, and it's not going to fucking happen.
He might even redshirt.
Yeah. Well, they have those new rules now where if you play less than 4 games, you're an automatic redshirt, which I love. I think that's really smart by college
football. That'd be sweet, so he can play the last couple of games,
That's why they were like hesitant about starting Jack Cohen.
Well, Cohen he didn't get the redshirt?
No.
Okay.
But I think he's going to be the starter because I think Cornybrook's done with concussions, but that's another story for another time. And for Marquette, it's just just get yourself into the tournament again. Get a seed above 8 and maybe win a tournament game. They're pretty good this year. I really like them. They're losing right now to St. John's, but I didn't expect them to win that one. So that is
I feel like Marquette can probably beat anybody.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they just – the way they play, shoot a lot of threes. They do have a star player, Marcus Howard. I mean, and a lot of good pieces around him.
And Marcus Howard is like watching Steph Curry. I'm not even kidding there. He's like, when he gets hot, it's like you were there. Yeah. I mean, you saw it 40 points
in
the second half. And it was like, I'm sure it was an incredible thing to just watch him score.
It was, I mean, he went on like a 24-0 run by himself or something. Yeah. Like it was, Marquette just blew the doors off Buffalo that night. And That was incredible to see, and I think Marquette definitely, Theo John's been good.
Yeah.
What's his name too? Ed Morrow or whatever, the guy, the Badger game hero. I mean, Marquette's, I guess definitely looking good.
I guess I should give a resolution to Badger basketball as well. My resolution for Badger basketball before
I already
we
know what you're
going to
say.
What am I going to say?
Brad Davison, shut the hell up.
Well, I said that on Daily Tap, so I can't. I already did that on Daily Tap yesterday. I would say for Badger basketball, just find other scorers than Ethan Happ. I think it was an encouraging sign for the Badgers that there were other guys than Ethan Happ that were making noise. Brad Davidson did have 26 points, and they need to have those second, third scorers if they're going to make any sort of noise in March.
Are the Badgers really like that good?
I don't know yet. That's a conversation maybe in a couple of weeks that we can have after some conference play happens and everything like that. But I definitely think there is a little. Are we sure they're good?
Yeah.
Without question. All right. Take care of yourselves. We'll be back to celebrate the Daily Tap 1 year anniversary tomorrow. It's actually today, but that's okay. We'll celebrate it tomorrow. And then also talk weekend watch list, look at the NFL playoffs and the Bucks Raptors game again. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. We'll see where our Bucks are at.
Yeah, see where our Bucks are at. We'll see where the coaching search is at next week. All right, take care, guys. Have a great start to your new year.
See ya.